Chapter 7.
I entered my apartment, tossed my blasting rod, which I had recovered from the abandoned department store, into the corner next to my wizard's staff and my sword cane, and locked the door behind me. It was one of those steel frame doors, the anti-burglar kind. I bought it after a demon had come stomping into my apartment 6 months ago and wrecked my place. My apartment is the basement of a huge old rooming house that somehow managed to survive all the Chicago fires. It was made almost entirely of wood, and it creaks and groans when the wind blows, which is all the time in this city, and makes gentle, soothing music. It's a place with a history. The neighbors are quiet, and my rent is cheap, though less so than it was before the demon trashed my place. The apartment itself is devoid of electrical devices, for reasons that should be evident by now. There's a fireplace and a kitchenette off the main room, a little bedroom adjacent to that, and a bathroom inside of the bedroom. Sunken windows are high on each of the four walls, and one is on the wall of the bathroom. I decorate in textures more than I do in colors. There are thick rugs all over the bare stone floors, layered on top of one another in most places. Demon acid had burned away most of my furniture, and I had been obliged to scavenge secondhand stores for replacements. I like furniture with a lot of wood and soft cloth, and I'd made my purchases accordingly. Tapestries hung from my walls, the oldest tapestries that I could find, covering the bare stone. In the ruddy firelight, the oranges and browns and reds that constituted the primary colors of the decor didn't look half bad. I went over to the fireplace and built a fire. October in Chicago is a cold, breezy month, and my dank little haven is usually chilly until I get a fire going. I dropped a few logs on the fire, and Mister made an appearance, rubbing against my leg and purring fondly, staggering my balance off to one side. "Been getting into the steaks again, eh, Mister?" I said, and rubbed the big gray cat's ears. Mister's larger than most dogs. Maybe one of his parents was part wildcat. I found him in a dumpster one day when he was a kitten, and he promptly adopted me. Despite my struggles, Mister had been an understanding soul, and I eventually came to realize that I was part of his little family, and by his gracious consent, allowed to remain in his apartment. Cats, go figure. I fired up the wood-burning stove and prepared a quick meal of SpaghettiOs, grilled chicken, and toast. Mister shared in my meal and split a can of Coke with me, as usual, and I tossed the dishes into the sink to soak before I went to my room and put on my robe. Let the wizardry commence. I went to the spot in the far corner and moved the rug there, then lifted up the door in the floor beneath it, revealing the steep stepladder that led down to the sub-basement where I kept my lab. I teetered down the stairs, holding a lit candle that cast a golden glow on the cheerful havoc that is my laboratory. Tables lined the walls, and the longest table filled most of the center of the room, leaving a cramped walk space around it, except for an area at the far side of the lab that I kept completely clear for my summoning circle, a ring of bright copper set into the floor. Books, notebooks, defunct ballpoint pens, broken pencils, boxes, plastic containers, old butter bowls, empty jelly jars, and plastic baggies lay next to other containers of every size and shape that held the spices, rare stones, bones, fur, blood, oddments, jewelry, and other ingredients useful to wizardly pursuits and studies. I reached the bottom of the ladder, stepped over a precariously balanced stack of comic books, don't ask, and started lighting the other candles that lay on dishes around the chilly room, finally bending to light up the kerosene heater that I keep down in the lab in an effort to at least blunt the cold. "Bob," I said then, "wake up, sleepyhead." Up on one of the shelves, huddled in the midst of the thick stack of hardbacks, was the bleached, smoothed form of a human skull, its empty eye sockets gaping. Deep in those eye sockets, there was a flickering of orange light, which grew and solidified into twin points of lambent illumination.
"Sleepyhead? Oh, that's rich, Harry. With a sense of humor like that, you could make a living as a garbage man anywhere in the country."
The skull's mouth gaped open in a parody of a yawn, though I knew the spirit within, Bob, didn't feel fatigue in the same way that living beings did. I put up with his lip, so to speak. Bob had worked for several wizards over the course of a dozen mortal lifetimes, and he knew more about the nuts and bolts of magic than I ever would.
"What are we doing now?" Bob sniggered. "More weight loss potions?"
Look, Bob, I said, that was only to get me through the rough month. Someone's got to pay rent around here.
All right, Bob said smugly. You going to get into breast enhancement, then?
I'm telling you, that's where the money is.
That isn't what magic is for, Bob. How petty can you get?
Ah, Bob said, his eyelights flickering. The question is, how pretty can you make them?
You aren't a half-bad wizard, Dresden. You should think about how grateful all those beautiful women will be.
I snorted and started cleaning off a space at the center table, stacking things up to one side.
You know, Bob, some of us aren't obsessed with sex.
Bob snorted. No easy feat for a guy with no nose or lips.
Some of us don't take a real working body and all five senses for granted either, Harry.
When's the last time you saw Susan?
I don't know, I responded. Couple weeks ago. We're both pretty busy with work.
Bob heaved a sigh.
A gorgeous woman like that, and here you are, down in your musty old lab, getting ready to do more ridiculous nonsense.
Precisely, I said. Now shut up and let's go to work.
Bob grumbled something in Latin, but rattled a few times to shake the dust off the skull.
Sure, what do I know? I'm just a pathetic little spirit, right?
With a photographic memory, 300 or 400 years worth of research experience, and more deduction capacity than a computer, Bob. Yeah.
Bob almost seemed to smile.
Huh, just for that. You get my best effort tonight, Harry. Maybe you're not such an idiot after all.
Great, I said. I want to work up a couple of potions, and I want to know everything you know about werewolves.
What kind of potions and what kind of werewolves? Bob said promptly.
I blinked.
There's more than one?
Oh, hell, Harry. We've made at least 36 kinds of potions down here ourselves. I don't see why you wouldn't.
No, I growled at Bob. Werewolves. There's more than one kind of werewolf?
More than one kind of what?
Bob tilted his skull over to one side, as though cocking an invisible hand to his ear bones.
Werewolf.
Werewolf, Bob replied solemnly, his voice seething with hokey accent. Their castle.
I blinked at Bob.
Huh? What the heck are you talking about?
It's a joke, Harry. Stars almighty, you never get out, do you?
I eyed the grinning skull and growled in frustration.
Don't make me come up there.
Okay, sheesh. Aren't we grumpy tonight? Bob's jaws stretched in a yawn again.
I'm working another murder case, Bob, and I don't have time to goof around.
Murder? Mortal business. It's so complicated. You never hear about murder charges in the Never Never.
That's because everything there is immortal. Bob, just shut up and tell me what you know about werewolves. If there's a bunch of different flavors, tell me what they are.
I got out a notebook and a fresh pencil, then a couple of clean beakers with alcohol flame burners to heat whatever liquid I put in them.
All right, Bob said. How much do you know?
Exactly nothing about werewolves. My teacher never covered that with me.
Bob barked out a harsh little laugh.
Old Justin had a lousy sense of just about everything. He got what was coming to them, Harry, and don't let anyone on the White Council tell you any different.
I stopped for a moment. A sudden rush of mixed feelings, anger and fear and mostly regret, washed through me. I closed my eyes. I could still see him. My teacher, dying in flames, born of my will and anger. I don't want to talk about it.
Hell, the council even suspended the sentence on you. You were vindicated.
Say, I wonder whatever happened to Elaine. Now, there's a sweet piece of werewolves, Bob, I said in a very quiet, very angry voice.
One hand started to hurt, and I saw that my fingers had clenched into a fist, the knuckles turning white. I turned my eyes to him, glaring.
I heard the skull make a gulping sound, and then it said,
Right. Okay. Werewolves. And, which potions did you want?
I want a pick-me-up potion, a night's rest in a bottle, and I want something that will make me imperceptible to a werewolf. I reached out for the notebook and my pencil.
First one's tough to do. There's nothing quite like a decent night's sleep. But we can make some super coffee, no problem.
He spouted out a formula to me, and I noted it down as he went, my handwriting too dark and angular. I was still angry from the mere mention of my old master's name, and the welter of emotions that rushed up from my memories of Elaine wouldn't subside for an hour. We all have our demons. What about the second one?
Can't really be done, Bob said. Wolves have just got way too much on the ball to hide from every one of their senses without doing some major work. I'm talking like a greater ring of invisibility, not just a shadow cape or something.
Do I look like I'm made of money? I can't afford that. What about a partial hiding potion, then?
Oh, like a blending brew?
Look like an unobtrusive part of the background, something like that?
I would think that would be most useful, really. Keep you from being noticed to begin with.
Sure, I said. I'll take what I can get.
No problem,
Bob assured me, and rattled off another formula, which I jotted down. I checked the ingredients list and thought that I had them all stocked among the countless containers on my shelves.
Fine. I can get started on these. How much do you know about werewolves, Bob?
Plenty. I was in France during the Inquisition. Bob's voice was dry, but that was to be expected, considering. I started on the first potion, the stimulant. Every potion has 8 parts. One part is a base liquid to hold the others and provide a medium for mixing. 5 parts are symbolically linked to each of the 5 senses. One is similarly linked to the mind, and the other to the spirit. The basic ingredient to the stimulant potion was coffee, while the base for the scent masking potion was water. I got them both to boiling.
A lot of werewolfery going on, then?
Are you kidding? Bob said. It was werewolf central. We had every kind of werewolf you could think of. Hexen wolves, werewolves, lycanthropes, and loup garou to boot. Every kind of lupine theriomorph you could think of.
Therio-what?
I said.
Theriomorph, Bob said. Anything that shapeshifts from being human into an animal form. Werewolves are theriomorphs. So are werebears, weretigers, werebuffaloes.
Buffaloes? I asked.
Oh, sure. Some Native American shamans could do a buffalo. But almost everyone does predators.
And until pretty recently, wolves were the scariest predator anyone around Europe could think of.